All right, we're going to look at rightly dividing again. I think this was kind of fun last week, so we'll do this again, similar thing. We're going to add to it, though. And some folks weren't here last week. You get to see this. And Harper, don't answer all the questions, all right? Let somebody else answer a few of them. But if Harper, if you know the answer, stick your hand up real quick so nobody else will tell it, and I'll let you answer. So, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, basically, if anybody knows an answer, stick your hand up, and we'll get the answer from you. And this is not going to be the exact same things we did last week. It's going to be very similar. So here we are in the beginning, Garden of Eden. We're looking at dispensational breakdown. We've got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 dispensations we're looking at. The first one was Adam and Eve, and they were put in this situation. It was the dispensation of, they hadn't sinned yet. It was a dispensation of, anybody?
She was here Sunday.
What's that?
I said she was here Sunday. She's got all the
answers. Oh, we did this Sunday, didn't we? Sunday morning. All right. Brother. Innocence. So we got the age of innocence here. Blame it on the marker. And then Adam and Eve, Adam fell. And then from Adam to Noah, we have conscience. And then Noah comes along, and from Noah to Abraham, we have the dispensation of human government. And like I said, we know how that works. In case anybody wants to write this down, I'm going to try to make it readable. I'm not guaranteeing anything spelled right. I'm just saying you can read the letters. So we've got the age of innocence, conscience, human government, and Abraham comes along and God gives him, brother,
promise.
So we have this promise. And then from Moses to the cross, we have the Old Testament law. So this is the Old Testament law period. And the cross is the death of the testator. And then we have a New Testament after the death of the testator, which is called the what? Church age. Is everybody just shy or nobody's paid attention for the last 6 months? So at the end of the church age, what happens here? Somebody's going up. People are leaving, going to heaven. Rapture. When's that going to be? Does anybody know? Amen. So after the rapture, this world is in a time of, it's called the tribulation, great tribulation. Tribulation / great tribulation. The time of tribulation. And then at the end of the tribulation period, somebody's coming down. And he's not coming by himself. And it's the battle of what? Armageddon. And again, I never can remember if that's 2 G's or 2 D's. I think it's 2 D's. So there's a battle of Armageddon. We come back with him. So what's happening up here? There's something happening up here. We go up, and something's happening up here in heaven with us, while something's happening down here in the world, the tribulation. And it's what? Judgment seat of Christ. And we come back with the battle of Armageddon, and that's where the devil's bound for 1,000 years here. The beast and the false prophet are cast in the lake of fire. But when Jesus Christ comes back physically, and we come back with him, that starts off the what?
Oh, I wasn't going to answer that question, but I'll answer. What was your question?
What's this period after that?
Oh, that's
1,000-year reign of Christ. And then we have the Battle of Gog and Magog, Great White Throne Judgment. and on into eternity with new things, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new things. What'd you have?
So, after the judgment seat of Christ, there's the wedding supper of the Lamb, right?
Yeah.
So, I think it was Gene Kim who was saying, like, if you don't get any reward at the judgment seat of Christ, you can be naked in eternity. Have you ever heard that? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you could be naked in eternity because we have the robe of righteousness.
Yeah.
But as far as rewards or crowns and stuff, yeah, you'd have to live that way for eternity without any rewards that way.
Right, okay.
So my understanding would be that it would be without rewards.
Okay.
But I also understand that it's not us that deserves them. So
right.
I almost wonder if we lay them at his feet and he says, no, go ahead, and he puts them back.
Right.
You know, gives them back to us just for being submissive to his will. But it's all him. So if you want to open your Bible, turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 9. I want to plug Daniel 70 weeks in here. Daniel 70 weeks. I'm not going to read all this like I usually read. I'm just going to start. It's going to start in verse 24, Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So it's talking to Daniel's people. It's obviously about the Jews, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So we know a score is 20. So we're looking at 7 weeks and 62. So we're looking at 69 weeks. So then the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even to the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So, couple things I want to mention as we look at this. Daniel's prophecy here, Daniel's 9 prophecy is of 70 weeks determined for Israel, Daniel's people. So it says, we just talked about 7 weeks, the rebuilding, 62 weeks, and the Messiah. And it says, that after 69 weeks, the Messiah should be cut off. So it's talking about the 7 week period and then 62, adding them together, 69 weeks. 69 weeks, you notice it says after Messiah cut off. And not for himself. So we know that's crucifixion of Jesus Christ. There's some other things I want to look at here to clear up some false teachings and some false understandings and false teachers and preachers and prophets or whatever you want to call them on the internet. And I believe this. I'm going to stand firm on this. And I don't care if all of our brethren turn the other way on this. I do not believe that 3.5 years of that's already gone.
Yeah.
And I've told you before why I believe there's a whole 70th week left.
Right.
That 70th week, and I'm not saying God didn't set it up to where he could have done it two different ways, because he could have come back in Acts.
Yep.
But he didn't. They didn't accept him. Tribulation didn't start then, and here's why. So the 70th week, you got 3.5 years and 3.5 years. First of all, I believe that Moses and Elijah are here. And the reason I believe that is they are hated and people can't do anything about it. And anybody goes against them, they just breathe fire on them and devour them. I personally believe that they hate Moses and Elijah because they're preaching the truth. And Elijah stops the rain and Moses turns the water into blood and they have a drought. And then they start to have a famine. And then the Antichrist finally kills them. Well, the full-blown Antichrist don't come on until the second half. Why would, if the Antichrist was over here, I mean, if Moses and Elijah were over here and the Antichrist was already here, why would he let this go on for 3.5 years? As soon as he gets on the scene, he kills them. And then God raises them up and takes them out. And I believe that happens right here, just past the halfway point. Well, that's a terrible arrow. Well, if that's the worst thing I ever do on there, you'll be all right. But, so that's what I believe. And I also believe it says he makes a covenant with him and he breaks it halfway through. And then you've got the wrath of God, the wrath of the devil, full on in that last 3.5 years. Let's see what it says in verse 26 to try to solidify this. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That's 7 weeks plus 62 weeks. But not for himself. He wasn't cut off for him. He was cut off for us. Our sins, what put him on that cross. And Israel decided to crucify the Messiah. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So it says the end thereof shall be with a flood. God said he's not going to destroy it with a flood again. But the devil tries to destroy Israel with a flood. And that's over in Revelation. He talks about he blows out this flood of water, and I believe he takes a big old drink of the Dead Sea, and he spits it out toward Israel, and there's an earthquake, and the ground opens up and sucks that water up. But that happens in the last half of the tribulation. So all these things aren't past. Some people say, oh, this is all past. This all was all set up in 70 A.D. Well, then why is John, that wrote Revelation in 90 A.D., still talking about it? Because that's 20 years after it supposedly happened. But it didn't happen. When did they ever finish the transgression? Yeah. That ain't over with. There's still transgression everywhere. And to make an end to sins. Yep. They said, well, Jesus on the cross made an end. No, he didn't. For everybody that accepts him.
Right.
But the whole world hadn't accepted him.
Right.
It's not an end to sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness.
Yep.
Where's everlasting righteousness? I'll tell you where it is.
Right.
It's Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's going to come back and there's going to be 1,000 years of righteousness on this earth. He's going to rule with a rod of iron and to anoint the most holy. And, you know, they say, well, that's when the dove lit on him and all that. No, we're talking about after here when he's anointed King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000-year reign. But it just makes a lot more sense since they didn't accept him in Acts. And they stoned Stephen to death instead. There's still a 70th week, a 7-year period that's left for Daniel's people or Jacob's, the time of Jacob's troubles, which is for Israel, not spiritual Israel. And if it was spiritual Israel, he wouldn't be in Revelation talking about 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000 male Jewish virgins. It's not spiritual Israel, it's Israel. So, and another thing to think about that makes sense that Moses and Elijah have to be here in the first half. If you do look at Jesus Christ's ministry as could have been the first half and they could have accepted him, just had 3.5 years of tribulation, guess who was there before the tribulation, the great tribulation? Moses and Elijah were already here with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. So that prophecy was fulfilled. If they would have accepted Jesus Christ in Acts 7, they probably would have just had to have 3.5 years of tribulation. But they didn't. So that's null and void. That 7 years is still future. Because of that. God does things, so he sets it up. It could go 2 different ways, 3 different ways sometimes, but that's what I believe happened. So where does this plug in? Well, are you familiar with Ezra and Nehemiah? Turn to Nehemiah. 69 weeks is what? 483 years. 483 years. So if you turn over to Nehemiah, it talks about, I'll read it here so I don't have to. Try to paraphrase. In chapter 2, it says, "It came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence, wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And he said unto the king, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me into Judah, into the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time." So the king set that in motion. Artaxerxes, the king, set that in motion. So if you remember, 69 weeks is 483 years, and 69 weeks from the rebuilding until the crucifixion. At the end of 69 weeks, you have the crucifixion. 483 years. Nehemiah and Artaxerxes' decree to rebuild was about 450 BC. You got to remember, our calendar's not right either, so it could be four. It could be a few years one way or the other, what they say it is. But this just makes sense. 450 BC, Jesus Christ was crucified when he was 33 and a half years old. So this period here, Daniel 69 weeks, is 483 years. From there to there. So we got the 70th week. Since they rejected their Messiah, now we have the church age, which is actually a pause in Daniel's 70 weeks. Between week 69 and 70. So where's that plug in? Well, after the rapture, here's the 70th week. Again, I believe it's 3.5 years, 3.5 years, and the covenant's made, broken, last 3.5 years. Oops. So there's where Daniel's 70th week plugs in. And, what else do I want to say about that? We know that that time, again, is a time of Jacob's troubles. It's a time appointed unto Daniel's people. And God was dealing with Israel as a nation. He quit dealing with Israel as a nation here. Actually, he quit dealing with Israel as a nation for the church age, right in the very beginning, a little bit into the beginning of the church age. So he turns back to Israel here. And Romans chapter 11 talks about that. Talks about if he can graft a wild vine in, how much easier for him to graft the regular vine back in. So he's going to turn back to Israel. And it says blindness in part is coming to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So that fullness of the Gentiles is coming in over here, and they're going to open their eyes over here. I mean, I've heard say, well, the fullness of the Gentiles is the end of the church age. Well, the fullness of the Gentile kingdoms are just breaking havoc on this place over here in tribulation. And Jesus Christ comes back in, and it's done. It's Jewish then. Because we got the King of Kings and Lord of Lords going to be sitting on his throne, on David's throne on this earth. But That's where I believe, that's what makes sense, where it plugs in. You go back 483 years to the death of Christ, from the death of Christ, you end up at Artaxerxes' decree to go ahead and rebuild the walls, and that's when Nehemiah goes and rebuilds the walls, and they're building and battling, and up to the crucifixion, and a little bit after the crucifixion, he's done with Israel as a nation. He's slowly, from the crucifixion on, turning from Israel, giving him another chance. Then he goes to the full-blown church age, Jew, no Jew or Gentile in Christ, and he goes back to the Jews. So here he's dealing with primarily Jews. Here he's dealing with Jew and Gentile, but primarily Gentiles. And here he goes back to primarily Jews. Does that make sense? So that's where it plugs in. And, you know, you have a lot of problems with saying the church are going through the tribulation. A lot of problems. We will see tribulation. We'll have troubles in this earth. But to say that the church is going through the tribulation, first of all, it's a time appointed to Daniel's people. We're not Daniel's people. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is Israel. We're not Jacob. We're not Israel. But second of all, we're the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. And the Bible says there's a rapture before this happens. Well, if he's rapturing us out of here, and then people say, well, there's no rapture. Well, you got to throw away a bunch of Bible and not believe in a rapture. But we also come back with him. How do we come back down with him if we didn't go up to him? So we have to be in heaven. The judgment seat of Christ just makes sense right here while this is going down here in time for the Jews. Now, personally, I believe that, see, he was dealing primarily with the Jews in the Old Testament, but the Gentiles were getting in it too. I mean, you look at the Ethiopian eunuch, he'd been going to the synagogues. Why? Because he knew Israel had the right God and he was trying to get to God. But he had to go through a Jewish system. So when the church is gone, he's dealing with primarily with Jews, but there'll be Gentiles saved in this time. But the way it breaks up is this church age, after the 69th week and shortly after the crucifixion, there's a pause in time where that 70th week does not, it hasn't happened yet. And as soon as the church is out of here, that 70th week's going to start up. And I'm not exactly sure if it starts right before we leave, a second before we leave, second after. But when we leave and it starts, you got 3.5 years where the devil's made a covenant with Israel. And he breaks that covenant halfway through, and it's on. That last 3.5 years is a great tribulation. Then Jesus Christ comes back, battle of Armageddon, casts the beast and the false prophet lakes of fire, lake of fire, binds the devil for 1,000 years, rules and reigns perfectly with a rod of iron. Then you got the devil loosed for a season. He gets the kings from the four corners of the earth together against Jerusalem and against God's people, and fire comes down out of heaven and devours them. Battle of Gog and Magog, then Satan's cast in a lake of fire forever. And you have the great white throne of judgment, and those not found written in the book of life cast in a lake of fire. You got new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new things on into eternity. So any questions or comments? Sister? Their souls are in heaven. Paul said, confident to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That soul sleep thing is kind of a weird Catholic Jehovah Witness thing. If she trusted Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior, she went to heaven like that. And what happens, what appears to happen out of the Bible, reading the Bible, at the rapture, the dead in Christ rise, and their soul and body unite, they get a new body. We rise, and we get a new body and meet them in the air. But their soul's coming down to meet the body, our soul's going up and getting a new body. But we all meet.
Amen.
We meet here.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ, today would be good. Yeah. Amen. Or yesterday. We'll turn the clock back. But are you laughing at my cloud?
No.
Oh. That's actually just supposed to be an oval. It just kind of looks like a cloud, so that's why I was just checking. No. So anyway, what we're looking at in the rapture is the dead in Christ rising first, getting a new their body and soul meeting, getting a new body, and we meet them in the air. The first coming of Jesus Christ, there were two parts to it.
Yep.
He came to this earth as a baby, he went back up, and he came back down again. The rapture, or the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's two parts. He comes, we meet him in the air, and then after 7 years, he comes back, we come with him, and he steps his feet on the Mount of Olives. He actually physically steps on the Mount of Olives and takes over. But he does it by violence. When Matthew's talking about the violent taking it by force, well, it means a couple different things. First of all, since John the Baptist, it said, because John the Baptist, they took him and beheaded him, and they were taking Jesus Christ, trying to take him by force to crucify him. But when his kingdom actually starts, he's going to come back and take it by force. And he's going to keep it by force. He rules with a rod of iron. And how can anybody overthrow God? They can't do it. But the devil's going to convince. See, they got 1,000 years to figure out. It ain't the devil doing everything, because the devil won't be involved in this 1,000 years. He's gone. And they'll still be able to be talked into going against the perfect Lamb of God at the end, and against God's people. And then fire comes down and devours them. So, any other questions, Brother Jim? Amen. If you believe the book, you can trust the Lord.
Amen.
If you don't believe the book, I don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
You know, good luck.
Amen.
No. You still get saved, you don't have any anchor after that. You're saved and sealed, but you don't have any anchor in storms. Amen. Scott, you had?
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of multifaceted question. Would it be a fair statement to say that Judaism, most of that stuff is symbolic and points towards Christ?
Yeah.
Okay, so during the 1,000-year reign, are they going to practice Judaism, or are they just going to worship Christ?
Well, there's going to be a difference than the Old Testament law and the time Jesus Christ is on this earth, because he's actually here.
Right.
They're going to, all the stuff in the Old Testament that was pointing to him as their Messiah, they're going to get it here. So that, they're not going to have to do everything they did back here, but they are going to have to come before his presence on a regular basis to be blessed.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's going back into a perfect Old Testament law situation, but it does go back to a work situation, because faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and he's seen. So the only thing it could be is works. Can be faith. I mean, it's always grace. There's always some grace mixed in there. But they're going to have to do right, and they're going to have to go before the Lord on a regular basis, or they won't have physical blessings. This gets into, we get into a lot of things about the tree of life and all this other stuff. Well, the tree of life, we're not looking to take part of the tree of life. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our life's spiritual. What I believe, if you look in Matthew and you're studying out where he's talking to the Jews and the constitution of the kingdom and the Beatitudes and all that, where he's talking to the Jews and giving them all them principles, and they have a right to the tree of life. If they have a right to that tree of life and they inherit the earth and get an earth back, then they can physically live forever. I think we spiritually live forever, and the Jews will be able to take part of that, take a bite out of that tree of life and physically live forever. And it looks like there's a potential for those leaves for the healing of the nations, for them to stay right with God eternally through the tree, leaves of the tree, at the fruit of the tree, the 12 tree. I'm not 100% sure how that works. But it makes sense that it lines up with Israel, because there's 12 manner of fruit, and there's 12 tribes of Israel. And they're not looking, they weren't ever looking for a spiritual kingdom. They were always looking for a physical kingdom. And that kingdom of heaven was a physical kingdom. The kingdom of God's a spiritual kingdom that we're part of by getting saved, when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So that tree of life, to me, it looks like that tree of life has something to do with somebody living forever physically on this earth by taking part. Because you know what would have happened over here? If Adam would have ate the tree of life instead of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he'd have lived forever. So God's going to make that happen for folks later on. And I believe it's going to be for Israel on this earth. Or on new earth, amen, eternally. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. Anything else? Anybody else, sister?
Fire will come to devour them, even if it's a civil rights,
Both of them. Both of them will be able to, they just speak fire out to get rid of their enemies. But you're right about Elijah calling down the fire for the sacrifice. Well, I think that's going to be part of the process of them getting their eyes open. A lot of them are going to realize, hey, that guy's stopping the rain. And he stops the rain for 3.5 years. In the Old Testament, Elijah stopped the rain 3.5 years. That's another reason I believe it's the first half. If he was in the second half and the Antichrist killed him, he wouldn't be able to stop it for 3.5 years. Why would the Antichrist let him go all the way to the end? And believe me, they're going to have more to worry about than water over here. I mean, they got things coming out of hell with stingers on them, stinging men for 5 months, and they're looking to die, and they can't die. And all the things that are happening, all the vials and plague, all the stuff that's going on, I believe the first half, that 3.5 years, and God's going to open their eyes, and it's just going to be right on time, like God is. They're going to go, that's Moses and Elijah. They promised Elijah would come back before the Lord. What's going on here? Well, then the Antichrist is going to turn on them, and they're going to realize they're going to have to trust God or take the mark to save their flesh. And the ones that trust God head for the mountains or head for the hills, if you will. He that endureth the end shall be saved. He'll take them out of the tribulation, talking about a physical salvation where he takes them into millennial reign. But the folks here that don't take the mark, that get caught and are beheaded, it talks about them being under the altar and them being raised from the dead and sent back into the Battle of Armageddon. So they said, how long, O Lord, how long? Must be wait for you vindicate us, before you cast vengeance out on these people that have done this to us. He said, till the rest of your brothers die the way they're going to die. So until the rest of the beheadings and everything that's going on here, and then he's going to raise them up, and they're coming back down to Battle of Armageddon too. So this thousand-year reign is going to have Jews and Gentiles reigning. But we won't be a Gentile anymore because we're not Gentiles. Right? We're in Christ. So people that started out as Gentiles will be in that kingdom with the Jews. So, anything else? Sister? Billy Graham came, or he visited Billy Graham?
Billy Graham came to him at Jesus Teaching Him. He was on that
I wouldn't even know from the door if Billy Graham came, to be honest with you.
But he said Jesus took him to his library in heaven.
Uh huh. Yeah. Makes me think the rapture's around the corner today, tomorrow. Yeah, that's craziness. People have been trying to rewrite God's Word and pervert God's Word since the beginning of time. That's why you got to be careful with the Mel Gibson movies and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff does not line up with the Bible. Mel Gibson's a lost Catholic. He'll split hell wide open if he don't get saved. And all these folks on the internet that are prophesying, and we got all these prophets that are big names nowadays, alleged prophets, they're prophesying extra-biblical stuff. You got to be careful with those guys because they're generally, they're devils, or they're working for the devil. And it's just to get you away from the truth. I mean, we study in here to try to be right with God. I want God to be satisfied with what we study and what we understand of the Bible. I mean, I know we can always do better. But if it doesn't match up with this book, it belongs in the trash. That's just the way it is. And there are so many reasons. First of all, this is the Word of God. Second of all, there are so many reasons to reject every other version out there. I mean, tons of reasons. And another reason we talked about it, says Joseph and his mother, talking about Jesus' stepfather and his mother. Well, a lot of the new per versions say Jesus' mother and father,
yep.
Or his father and his mother. Well, Joseph wasn't his father.
Right.
Then it calls the devil names that are supposed to be Jesus Christ's name. Like the NIV calls him, the devil, the morning star, where Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. And then the other ones call him the day star, and Jesus Christ is the day star. So you get the RSV, NASB, and books like that calling the devil the day star, which is the name for Jesus Christ, and the morning star in the NIV, which is the name for Jesus Christ. There's only one entity that want to do that. That's the devil. I shall be like the Most High. I shall ascend aside the north, he says. He wants to take over. But there's another thing in there, and you have to believe me when I'm telling you this. You've got to believe this. You got to understand this. When you're looking at the two Bible lines, one comes through Rome. One is Catholic. It has been perverted by the Catholic Church, which is the biggest perverted mess there is as far as religion goes. It's just a conglomeration of everything. Anything goes. And except truth. They've got very little bit of truth in there. But it says, when it's talking about the time of purification for Mary after the birth of Jesus. See, in the Old Testament, Leviticus, it says the woman has to have a time of purification. And she has to give a sacrifice for her sin. But in the newer versions, they talk about the time of their purification and their sacrifice, which makes Jesus a sinner in them Bibles. He didn't need a sacrifice. He didn't need to make atonement for any sin because he wasn't a sinner.
Right.
And he didn't need a time of purification. He's God. But it just little subtle things like that, there are attacks on the deity of Jesus Christ. So when anybody tells you, and I've heard pastors that have pastored longer than I have by far say, well, they're all the same, it just worded a little different. They are not all the same.
Right.
They are not all the same. Joseph is not Jesus' father.
Right.
And Jesus did not need an atonement for his sin. Muhammad did.
That's
did
right.
And
amen.
Buddha and the rest of them. And Joseph Smith. And
yep.
Matter of fact, he needed to get saved. He's burning in hell right now, I'm
That's
sure.
Right.
Hopefully, at the end, he got saved, but I doubt it. If he died believing what he believed when he was teaching what he believed,
right.
he didn't make it. Because the only way to make it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But yeah, that even if you didn't believe we had a perfect word of God, I don't understand why you wouldn't use this one. But I believe we have a perfect word of God. But I wouldn't use one that called the devil Jesus' names. Or that said Jesus was a sinner that needed salvation, needed atonement. Even the Quran says Jesus is sinless. Why would you take some perverted Bible that says he needs atonement for his sin? You know, you're better off reading the Quran than reading an NIV.
Yeah,
at least you know you got the devil's book and there's no confusion about it. Anyway, anything else before we wrap up?